Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome to 5 O'Clock Fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 O'Clock Fire.
It is 5 O'Clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Dilf.
The Big Dilf.
Psycho T slash T-Bill have the latest. And the latest is 5 O'Clock Fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And the big news of the day is Jose Abreu. They have made a decision with Abreu. The club has. Here is the general manager, Dana Brown. If you have not heard that, many of you are just getting off work. These are the comments and the words from Dana Brown upon the decision with Jose Abreu.
I just wanted to let the group know that we had a great meeting and good conversation with Jose Abreu. And in the middle of that conversation, we got into some really good things about what we could do to get Jose Abreu back to, you know, what he was doing last year, sort of like September, October in the postseason. And both sides were really engaged in this meeting. And through this meeting, we decided to option Jose Abreu to West Palm Beach effective tomorrow to get him some at-bats and to get his rhythm and timing back right. And so hopefully, and we're actually confident that we're going to get him down there and work on specific things like rhythm and timing and keeping your head on the ball and things like that. And hopefully we'll have him back here as soon as possible.
All right, that's General Manager Dana Brown saying he's going to go to West Palm Beach. And I think there's a couple of things here, Clint, to handle or to attack with this. And one is, you know, you got to give credit to the Houston Astros decision makers and organization. Listen, I don't think there was much of a decision to be made here. I told you yesterday I would have gone a step further and just – go ahead and wash my hands of it. I could understand. Let's give this one last opportunity. But they could have easily, and we heard from Tony Gwynn Jr., our guy who you hear here every Thursday. He said a couple of weeks back, sometimes it's hard for people who make decisions and teams and owners and GMs to say, hey, we're going to admit that we messed up and blew this. But they're at least doing something. And they had to remove him, especially if they're going to bring people up. They had to remove him from the equation, and I give them credit first for doing that.
Well, tip the cap to him for doing that, for making a move, putting winning first, yeah, and producing at the first base position as a priority, right? I mean, that's ultimately all that matters in this equation here. But Dana Brown, according to the audio you just played, it sounds – Dana's doing everything he can to emphasize, which I think to Jose Abreu and his people – that the organization is not giving up on him, that the organization has confidence that he will go down there and figure this thing out, which I think is the right thing to do for the organization at this point in time. With Jose Abreu, one reason, because you've got a boatload of money sunk into him, and it'd be ideal if he did get his swing back and his rhythm and his timing back and was seeing the ball better, yada, yada, yada.
And this isn't the last year that money.
Yeah.
You got him again next year.
Yeah, you got one more year of it. So, I think Dana's saying all the right things. The problem is, guys, is we've made light of it on this show multiple times. Like, I think the guy's broken. I think he's done.
I don't think he's going to go down and find it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there's nothing that we've seen. I mean, he's been blown away by high 80s. Like, he's not been able to catch up with a fastball high 80s to mid 90s. Like, it's not a matter of boy, it's there, and he's really opening this thing up, and he's letting it eat, but he's just not seeing it well. I mean, there's an inability to open it up. He's late on everything. He doesn't appear to be seeing it well. It appears to be broke. I hope, as an Astros fan, I'm dead ass wrong, and he goes down there and figures it out, and I hope in 2-3 weeks, a month, whatever it is, Jose Abreu is back hitting high 200s and producing for the Astros the way he did late last season. I hope I'm wrong, but the way I see it, the organization's tiptoeing around Jose Abreu because it's clearly a fragile situation. You're sending him down there, and the reality of it is you have no idea whether he's going to figure this thing out or not.
I mean, based off what we've watched, the odds are is, you know, he's not.
Right.
And
but somehow Dana Brown is confident that he will.
I mean, he's, like you said, he's speaking to him.
Sure.
Trying to understand. Yeah. Right, you would understand. Like, these guys don't come out and fully tell the truth for good reason. I just look at this clip from the standpoint of, there's one thing if this was like an injury, and I know there are some people who have floated that around. That's preposterous. There is no way that this is an injury. Let me tell you something. If Jose Abreu has been dealing with some sort of injury and they have refused to put him on the IL
right.
with how he's played, then they should all be fired, every last one of them. So I don't think it's an injury situation. I think it's he's lost it. Like, it looked like Father Time was threatening to get him last year, and somehow he pulled it together. And it looks like he got him by a chokehold around the neck. So we'll see. We'll see. But the other part is, Clint, for him to get back to steal time or to get back to get his job back or to be back a part of this, it would have to be going damn near as bad as it is right now at first base. Like, all of the options, they would for him to have to come up because I am curious to see what he's going to show at West Palm Beach. Like, I don't even know what kind of pitching he's going up against. What's he like to show what he's going to have to show to jump somebody just playing solid? Right.
Like I said, I don't think it's going to happen, but if he gets down there and somehow fixes the swing and all of the stars align for him again, given the fact that we're talking about Joey Loperfido and ultimately John Singleton and worst case scenario Mauricio Dubon, possibly Diaz or Caratini. Like, I mean, clearly there are right now they're out of options and Loperfido is the best bet. If Jose Abreu goes back down there and he shows any kind of promise, I would imagine he'd be back with Loperfido or whoever swinging the bat the best at that point in time. But again, I think it's a long shot.
Yeah, that's interesting. It'll be something we're going to watch, something going to be looking at as Jose Abreu is going to try to find his swing. And they sound like they're confident that he will. I don't know that many folks are. They sound like they're confident he will. We'll see what happens, but hopefully he finds something because he seems to be in a tough place. And I do think if you are down, you said walking around on eggshells, I bet you that locker room is probably bringing a bit of that. There's just a negative energy that's just hard to avoid if you're in the place that he's in. Hell, I've done it. I know I've been in a negative place with the job before, and I've brought energy down. Lynn has done it multiple times.
Yeah, so, I do it all the time.
Tyler has too. We've all done it. But you understand, this has to be – but ours is a day and a half. This has probably been every single day.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want it to be, but every single day. That could be a help for a change.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this just came out, Clint. And I, like, just, and I feel like, he's getting enjoyment out of it. I really do. This Alden Gonzalez reports Mike Trout needs surgery on his knee, sources tell him and Jeff Passan. The extent is not known, but sources said it is not expected to be season ending. But he is going to miss some time with surgery on the knee.
Mike Trout's hurt?
It's like,
what?
Nah, it's seriously. It's Trout, AD, Joel Embiid. Who else is in this?
He needs to just get his ass out of
there's
LA.
Somebody.
Horace Whitley.
You got to make
Kawhi.
It. Kawhi Leonard, you're right. Got all of them. Kawhi is missing tonight again. Joel Embiid had to skip the shoot around because he has a migraine on top of Bell's palsy and the knee that he has.
Jeez.
AD. Porzingis. Someone set a screen on AD. Yes, just a screen on AD, and it took his shoulder out of place or something. And now Mike Trout, walking up the clubhouse stairs, I'm guessing, has to have knee surgery. What? Seriously, these guys, again, somebody I'm sure has no sympathy for, but these guys, damn it. I mean, he's probably got to be beside himself.
The Mike
Trout. I would kick my own ass.
Mike Trout obviously is going to make a boatload of money, and already has, so it's not going to impact.
Some of you out there, who gives a damn?
Right. It's not going to impact his bottom line, but Mike Trout's got to look back at his career and be like, what in the hell was I doing in L.A.? He's snake bit. He got to get out, man.
You think it's L.A.?
Where's he originally from?
I think Philly. The Philly area.
He
got to
get out.
You don't think it would follow him?
Oh, maybe it will, but I got to try my luck, man. I mean, he is snake bit, boy.
It is. Those guys, I'm serious. I bet you they have to be almost running and walking around waiting for the injury to happen.
I mean, at this point, it's death, taxes, and those guys you just listed getting injured. So
what happened to Kawhi? Seriously. He's played the most games in the regular season he's played in years. I bet you those guys have to look at. I bet you those guys have to look at LeBron and just want to fight him. Like, how the hell is your ass just waltzing through here? He has never even had a major injury.
Yeah, knock on wood. No, real wood. the table
give
there.
Give me a second.
The table.
I mean,
there.
They got to be beside themselves. Damn, man. Well, it looks like the Angels are done.
I'm just so shocked, you know.
Stop it, man.
Yeah, I bet the writers still vote for him for MVP, too. He'll miss the rest of the year or something. Oh, he's just so good, though. He's so good.
Is there anybody else who fits this mold? Joey Bosa gets himself hurt all the time, too. You could time it. Joey Bosa's going to have a leg injury at some point for the Chargers. At some point. They as a team just go down with injuries to major pieces.
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, someone texted in, Bell's Posley is no freaking joke. No, I'm not joking. I'm just saying the things that he is dealing with all at once right now in a closeout game. All at once, just snake bitten, as you said. All right, let's get to the Astros in particular. They've got what they've got ahead of them. They've got a big series against the Guardians, and Clint, Hunter Brown's on the mound.
Big
Hunter
game.
Well, he's 0-4 and an ERA pushing 10. So, are we going to – he's very much representative of the Astros as a whole. When are we going to start seeing something? You know what I mean?
We're on the verge of seeing his ass go right to the pen. And I'm talking about the bullpen. He's got to be number 5 right now.
Well, I was going to say, do we see him go to the pen or do we see him – he's not out of options. Christian Javier, by the way, is there any update, Dana, on Christian Javier on the neck? When he comes back, hopefully soon, somebody's got a role.
What do you got? You got Verlander, Fromber, Christian Javier, Ronel Blanco, and then your fifth one's got to be him.
Hunter or Spencer Arrighetti. They kept Spencer up here to send J.P. France's ass back down. And Spencer has pitched better than him, kind of. I think. I was encouraged after the first inning where he gave up 4 and then he didn't give up anything else. But Hunter Brown's got to start showing something, man.
Yeah.
Along with the rest of this team. This is I think we talked about it earlier. I'm looking at this 9-game stretch. You got to try to break this down. They have got to make up some ground if they're going to get back in it. If what Joe Espada said, that what happened in Mexico City could be a game, a thing that turns and flips the season,
yeah.
They found a good thing. They got to start winning series. These next nine games, they got six at home on this homestand against the Guardians, the best record in the American League, against the Mariners, the team that currently leads the AL West, the team you're chasing, and then the Yankees, who swept you, have the second, one of the top three records in the American League. These are three good teams in the AL. You got nine games against them. They got to start winning series. They've got to go above 500 in this stretch.
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the deal for me. It's obvious, Ron, they got to start winning some series. They got to start winning some games. I mean, they have dug a hole that's going to take a while to dig out of. Right now, it's obviously I care about how many games they win versus how many they lose. But I don't know how many more games I can watch these guys lose at the hands of Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly, and Josh Hader. Like, at some point in time, those three guys, not just one or two, all three of them, some bucks, they've got to turn the corner and start getting better.
If they get a lead in the seventh, that's got to be ball game.
If and when they lose, it can't be at the hands of one of those three. Like, we've got to have several outings like the Justin Verlander first start where he went six, he turned it over to Brian, who turned it over to Ryan, who turned it over to Josh, and boom, we were out of there. The way it was supposed to, the way it's been drawn up since day one, which it's only happened once. We've got to have some more of that right there, man. And it's, again, if you lose a game 2-1, so be it. Let's not lose it 2-1 when you had a lead one zip in the eighth or the ninth and your big guns gave it up. So, look, yes, obviously they got to win, but really what they got to do is quit losing ball games at the hands of their best damn players.
Yeah, and to the point you're making also, guys like Jose Altuve have got to drive in runs when runners are in scoring
position.
As well as he is hitting this year, I don't know what it is now, but going into that series.
Well, we're not
going
to count Colorado anyway. He was one for 17 with runners in scoring position.
Going into that Colorado series. He's been leading or top three in hitting all year, and he's one for 17.
Yeah.
Jordan, your ass has been doing it too. I expect more from – you're right. Like these guys got to carry it. If they come up, if the Jordans, Altuve, the Tuckers come up with runners in scoring position multiple times, they got to come through at least once. And like you said, they get a lead. If it's 3-1, 2-1 in the seventh, Pressly, Abreu, and Hader have to close the door. Have to. You're 9-19. They got to take a step. It's got to happen. All right. Programming note: we'll remind you of coming up and. Man, this Clint said he hated the tackle pick. I don't hate the tackle pick unless this becomes a true thing. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, Drive family, Sports Radio 610 family. Little programming note, coming up tomorrow, which is Wednesday, put this on your schedule, your calendar, 7:30, and this is generally right around the time I get up and I'm taking the kids to school, 7:30 on Payne and Pendergast tomorrow. Nick Caserio will join the fellas. He will join Seth and Sean, and I'm sure we'll be probably somewhere around 40 minutes if it's like normal.
Caserio.
That's right, and they'll I'm sure discuss the draft and amongst other things. So 7:30 tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610 with Payne and Pendergast, Nick Caserio will be speaking.
Do you need Sean to extend the invite and let him know that you'd like to maybe grab a drink or something and kind of hash a few things out and put some stuff behind y'all?
That'd be cute. I'd enjoy it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Telling you. Nick, it'll get to him. I know they're listening. Just saying, man. Just go out, grab a whatever you want to grab. Toast, pizza, drink, hummus.
Well, those first two got carbs now.
I'm going to bet you hummus might be it.
It's got carbs, too.
You might be one for four.
Grab some hummus.
I don't know that Nick is just kind of randomly eating toast.
Some yogurt.
I know it's a couple waffles when he first gets up in the morning, get a little juice flowing.
Okay, breakfast.
Learned that on Payne and Pendergast one time when the GM was on there.
Turkey bacon.
We share an affinity for wrestling. Really, get after
that's
it there.
That's right.
Now you got to tread lightly. Now that's Sean and Nikki's territory now. Don't go getting in that now.
I'm just saying we have one thing in common.
Don't be pissing people. Don't be stepping on toes now.
I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm just saying, if there's a hatchet to be buried, I'm willing. But you all can listen to it tomorrow, 7:30, Payne and Pendergast. Nick Caserio will be on with the fellas. Now, I'm sure he won't discuss this. I kind of want to hear it a little bit, hear his thoughts to see if he'll be definitive on this. And maybe he will be. Because this does intrigue me. I was going back and forth. Jonathan Alexander, who writes for the Houston Chronicle, covers the Texans. He's a beat writer there every day with the Texans. Goes to the combine, goes everything. Kind of going back and forth with him, and he said there could be a route in which Tytus Howard moves to left guard. He said if Blake Fisher is really good coming out of camp, and clearly they love Blake Fisher, and Kenyon Green in particular struggles, yes, there is absolutely a chance to see Tytus Howard at left tackle. Also going to say that D'Amico at the combine didn't commit to having Tytus permanently at right tackle, that the option could be open. And I would just say this, Clint, that can't be a part of the strategy. Now, there can't be any part of the strategy that has Tytus Howard going to play left guard unless the whole house is on fire. And that means there's got to be a run of three, four, five guys before Tytus Howard has to get over there. He's a right tackle who you paid large money to. And Sean, speaking of Sean Pendergast, he reminds people of this, and I think it's great. He has yet to play a single down at the position you have paid him to play and paid him top five at that position to play. We've seen it. He is, to be kind, below average as a left guard. To be kind in the big sample size he has given us over two different coaching staffs and multiple years, he is below average to be kind. He should never play that position, ever. And I can understand the Blake Fisher move to say, all right, we want to get this guy in the fold, and hopefully he is ready next year when we potentially may have to make some decisions on one of our tackles. But not for, all right, let's see if Kenyon Green messes this up and he's not as good as we think so we can move Titus over. Titus playing left guard cannot be in the equation. And I refuse to believe it is, Clint. Now, I know this draft thing could bring it to make it seem like that is that does make sense or it is in the equation. I just refuse to believe it.
Well, when you draft a tackle in the second round and your general manager and or head coach is non-committal when you ask, where is Titus Howard going to play? Like, this is a very simple solution if indeed Titus Howard is a right tackle. Titus is our right tackle. We paid him to be our right tackle. He's one of the top five right tackles in the league, which, by the way, I did hear Nick Caserio after the draft in one of the post-draft pressers where he said, we feel like Titus Howard is a top right tackle in this league. He's a better tackle than he is a guard, right? But he also followed that up, if I remember correctly, he followed that up with, but, you know, it's the best five available and yada, yada, yada. So here's the deal is – it would be a very easy fix. Don't draft this guy's replacement. When you're asked about him, he is a right tackle. Like, it'd be very easy to fix all this, right? But avoiding answering the question cleanly, directly, and drafting a guy in the second round that plays the same position, instead of drafting a guy that, I mean, I think there was three, maybe four interior offensive linemen that had been drafted by the time the Texans picked that second pick in the second round, they could have taken a very high-rated interior offensive lineman to give them options at the left guard position where there's serious doubt that those guys, that anybody you have can play left guard at a high enough level that you expect to be played there, right? But you didn't do that. So, look, I think there's a double-edged, not a double-edged sword. I think there's two things here. Titus Howard, he's got to be done being a good soldier.
Oh, yeah, from his perspective. He said it. He put it on there. I'm not saying he put on their right tackle, Texas. He put that on his social media.
You're playing with his next contract, right? And he's no dummy. There's one more year, and there's a potential out after this year with Titus Howard. Why would he want to or agree to, in any way, shape, or form, to play guard when that's the case? That would be two straight years of him playing guard before he could potentially be, I believe he would be a free agent at that point in time if they did choose to opt out at that point in time. Why would a top five right tackle, according to his pay, why would he agree to do that?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, Titus Howard has got to say, look, I'm playing right tackle and that's it. I mean, there's nothing going to push me back down inside. You're costing me money. You're playing me out of position. You yourself have said you believe I'm a better right tackle than I am a guard. I'm through being a good soldier. This is exactly why I did not like the offensive tackle pick for any reason in the second round this year, because if you're going to address anything on the offensive line, it needs to be addressed immediately. It's the guard center position, whichever one Juice Scruggs isn't playing. Left guard or center, whichever one Juice plays, the other is going to be a huge problem.
Yep, as B. Scott texted in, Titus Steele has right tackle only in his Twitter bio. Someone texted in, Ron, the Texans actually ran the ball better statistically speaking when Titus was a left guard. They sucked ass running and doing anything. Titus had go watch that Panther game. Let's go pull Titus. Remember the complete confusions they had there. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know the statistics. They didn't run the ball well virtually with anybody. and definitely with Titus. Like for me, two things that can't happen. Titus cannot be healthy and not playing right tackle or guard. Like he cannot be playing left guard and be healthy. And he can't be healthy and been beat out by Blake Fisher. Just can't happen. That better not happen. Titus better be earning his money playing right tackle unless he is injured or unless Laramie Tunsil is injured and he moves over to left and they bring in Blake Fisher to play right. Those are the only ones. They will not. He cannot be $18 million a year on the bench or playing left guard when we've seen what he does at left guard.
If Titus Howard is your answer at left guard for any reason, you've got to really question what D'Amico and Nick have done. At that point in time, right, it wasn't addressed in free agency.
Refuse.
It wasn't addressed in the draft at all. If Titus Howard plays left guard, you've really got to question. Because Titus, again, Nick Caserio is on record within the last week saying, look, we know Titus is a better tackle than he is a guard. Like he's on record of saying that. So I like there's, you got to, if that's the answer, you really got to question what what's going on in terms of offensive line. It's not been pretty.
Swing damn tackle, or he better be the one moving in to play guard. All right, coming up as we roll through here, we'll get you ready for tonight's game. Do we have a lineup out? We'll get the lineup out when that comes out. And what do you think the young fella's gonna do tonight? How do you feel he is going to play as he gets to the big league? Do you think what he did in the minors will translate to the big league? We'll discuss that.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. I do want to get into the young fella. Big night for him tonight. And the lineup and what he'll do coming up in just a bit. That's one more thing on the Titus Howard thing. One more thing. Like, this is a different – we're in a different place with the Texans right now. Like, nothing about – Titus Howard playing left guard says this is a plan that helps us get to the AFC Championship game. Like on purpose. Like right now we look at him and we've seen him at guard. Like that can't be an option. It's like you're not just trying to improve a little bit. That can't be an option anymore with where you are and what you're trying to do as an organization and the step you're trying to take. You can't have that. And that can't be, to me, the decision or an option, a real option, unless, like, S has hit the fan and you're just fresh out of any options.
Well, to me, Ron, you're just at a point where we shouldn't be talking about our best five unless we have to. Like, if your best five means that you're playing a guy that the general manager just said is a better tackle than he's a guard, if playing your best five means he has to play guard, somebody had to have gotten hurt. Like, it can't be, well, Kenyon Green is obviously who he's been for 2 years now that he's been here, so hell, now we got to go to our best five. Now we got to play guys out of position so that we can play our best five, which our best five happens to be our right tackle, who we paid a boatload of money to. One of the top paid right tackles is going to play guard, and this second round draft pick that we just drafted out of Notre Dame is going to be your right tackle. Like, it just, you can't position yourself to where you're that close to playing, quote unquote, playing your best five. I mean, look, maybe they don't believe Tytus Howard is as good as they say he is, and that's just a more of a crutch than it is the truth.
That can't be the case.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, he hasn't played the position. I just that can't they
believe,
signed him.
I can't believe that there's this many conversations about Tytus Howard.
Well, as you said, you hate the pick, and that has probably forced this into a potential conversation.
I hate the pick. I hate the pick because if you're going to bring a guy in that is a top talent in a draft, make it at a position where you haven't already paid guys top value in the NFL. Make it a guard. Make it an interior offensive lineman where you struggled. How about that? That'd be a good idea. You missed once with Kenyon Green. How about we take another swing at this thing? Like, that would make sense. You're not a team yet. You're not a team where you can just draft best available, where you need to draft for a year, 2 years down the road. You're not a team where you pay guys top contracts at their position and then play them out of position for a year and then draft their replacement at their original position. Like, none of it makes sense. And then, but let's put all of that aside, Ron. Like, the thought that in the conversations around, like, Tytus Howard not being the best right tackle on this football team, in my opinion, is silly.
I would agree.
Like, it's, I mean, it
In many fashions.
And I understand why it's had, because the team just drafted a right tackle. I get it.
And hasn't committed.
Sure. And they, for whatever reason, just won't come out and commit. I understand why the conversations are being had, but as, like, I can't even have them. I mean, it's like,
I can't either. I can't have anything of him not starting at right tackle unless he's injured and him playing any left guard. I refuse it.
Yeah,
but it seems like everybody else thinks a lot of people sense it as a possibility, which I understand because of the draft. I just can't. I can't get there. I refuse to. That man's a swing tackle. That man's trying at guard before Tytus does. That's you, yeah. Blake Fisher.
Mm. I mean, the conversation with Blake Fisher is hey, let's start by proving that you're a better swing tackle than Charlie Heck.
Yes,
that's the conversation. If we're being real about
it for 2 years,
that is where this team is in terms of building this roster. Is if you do have quality depth somewhere, or you acquire somebody, whether it's a draft or a free agent, it's like, all right, now you come in, you got to prove you're better than Charlie Heck. If you do that and leave no doubt, and one of the tackles doesn't play well or gets injured, then you're that guy. But to just come in and go, I think the plan is for this guy to play over Tytus Howard. Ooh. Boy, that's a
text line. You're making this harder than it needs to be. Both tackles have missed time over the last few years. You need a good backup. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you would think Charlie Heck is potentially that.
Well, good enough for that. But here's the deal.
You don't
Ron.
Use that in the second round. That's your plan. I'm going to draft a second round tackle.
Both tackles have missed time. And tackle's not been a problem. Like, we were scared out of – I mean, we were shaking our boots when George Fant was going to play right tackle. He played as good a right tackle as anybody on the team did last year.
Austin Deculus had to play left.
Well, now that's – look, I mean, obviously –
he played well against the Steelers.
They overcame it. It wasn't a problem. Yeah. Good point, yeah.
But I'm just saying, you don't Oh man, our tackles have been injured. You don't use a second round pick to do that.
Right. We're talking about we're not when your left guard situation or your center situation is what it is. Right? No, you don't like that. That's not. I understand. You've got an experienced veteran in Charlie Heck that has played well enough to be a swing tackle and well enough to play with injury if there's been an injury somewhere and help you out.
I can like you don't get it. I can you don't want to or you don't like it. I can get the thought of this is a guy we want our program that we think is very, very talented and he can take over one of those tackle spots next year. But not he's a guy that we're coming in so we can put our best five out there. We'll put him at right tackle and swing over Titus to left guard. I don't love that at all. All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as they'll take a look at the draft classes around the AFC South. Not just the Texans, but around the AFC South. And then Area 45, Bajani and Creighton. They'll be rolling from 7 to 11. Make sure you stay right there for the post-game show as hopefully the Astros can continue and turn this into a win streak. Get it to 3 against the Cleveland Guardians tonight. Remember Nick Caserio coming up 7:30 tomorrow on Payne and Pendergast. Hey, how y'all feel Joey going to do? How feel about Joey? I know. I think we're all excited to see what he's done. By the way, if you don't know his numbers, like there's been like, this dude is going off here in the minors right now. He's got 13 homers, 27 RBIs. All right, he's hitting 287, an OPS well over 1,000. He has been really good at Sugar Land. I wouldn't throw this cat a fastball to save my life. I want to see what other stuff you can hit. I feel like he can hit that damn. He can hit a fastball a mile. I want to see what he's gonna do with a lot of off speed stuff.
Look, I'm excited about it. I think when you look at and I didn't watch it myself, but I've looked at the numbers. He was damn good in spring training as well. I mean, extra base hits, 300 average, hitting with power. In the minor leagues, he's been really, really good, 280 or something like that, 13 bombs in 25 games. I look at it like I don't think that happens by accident. I don't think you go out there in spring training and in a small sample size of 25 games in the minor league system, you're as good as this guy's been, and it doesn't translate to some degree. Right? I mean, I expect the guy to swing it really, really well. He'll be fine in the outfield. Without a doubt, and I'm excited as hell about it.
He's gonna come out his damn shoes.
Oh, that would be on brand for the Astros. Well, if he watches a leadoff hitter, he's damn sure gonna feel comfortable doing it.
he's gonna bring it. I hope he does. Just let it rip. How quickly you think he can overseat the combination of Singleton and Abreu, who have no home runs with 3 RBIs combined?
What? Oh, no. Hell, that may happen tonight.
How quickly does he do that? They've got no homers combined, 3 RBIs. They've scored 9 runs.
He ain't going to do that tonight. But, I mean, he could very easily get you 3 RBIs tonight.
If he hits a homer and 3 RBIs and matches what they've given, I mean, it's over.
Tyler, we got any bets out there tonight?
I went pretty heavy on the over for runs for the Astros.
Oh, Lord.
What was it?
4.5.
4.5.
I think I want to get on that one with you.
Pretty heavy.
Can I get on that one with you?
No. Cleveland's pitcher, he has struggled.
Did you max your bet out, or can I get on that
one? No, you can get in on it. You want 100?
You know me, baby. I ain't getting
in. Let's ride.
Yeah, man. We ain't doing more halvesies.
Astros country.
Yeah, baby.
Let's ride.
Hey, it's your birthday, man. How much you want to put on it?
What are you doing? Astros country, let's ride? Russ? You think that's the turnaround? Put it in Russ's hand?
Maybe.
I mean, Tyler's one of those guys, hey, man, let's just let it out and see how it plays.
Tyler, it
just didn't play real well. According to you, it didn't.
It's actually really well said. That is my philosophy.
No, I love it. Throw it at the throw things at the wall. I do it
see
all
what
the time.
Sticks?
I do. I'm gonna pull the Tyler, man. I'm going old fashions in NYC.
Now, well, that's not pulling a Tyler. He was on a beach in Cancun. I mean, that's different.
I was going to say, I think Clint will be accepting of it. Straight old fashioned, baby.
And that makes sense. Be a little cooler weather up there in New York.
Yeah, 60s.
Probably a little different setting. I doubt you're going to be on sand between your toes sitting by the beach or the pool. I mean, you topless? Know, I don't know. Maybe you will. That'd be cool.
You know I'm going to get my frozen drink in, though. Cinco
Ain't
de Mayo.
No doubt.
My birthday, baby. Cinco de Mayo, man. It's going to be good times, baby. It'll be good times. Good times, baby.
The guy is drunk.
I thought about you this weekend,
God,
Ron.
I'm gonna get laced.
I was down there at Crystal Beach.
Oh, was you?
We was on a deck.
Was Charles Barkley with you?
No. We was on the deck of the beach house, right? And we about one row off the beach. And here come these two young black dudes come walking up the street. You tell they're underage. One of them's got a bottle. It's got something fluorescent. I think it's like orange. Mm. And you know, you can tell he's kind of hiding it by his side, you know. And he got up there. I said, "Hey, big fella." He looked up there like nervous. I said, "What you got in that bottle right there?" He said, "Hey," he looked at me dead in the face, said, "Froze."
That's my man.
I said,
right
"Go
there,
ahead,
baby.
Go ahead, big dog. Have you a day on the beach?"
That's
now.
My man.
I turned. I said, "Boy, if that ain't a little Ron Ugly right there, I don't know what he is."
I tell you, I hope
Froze.
That sounds like Trey. Clint, great job today. Tyler, great job. Next time,
no, I put it on you, not Trey. That's Courtney. She said he's half Courtney.
Next time I'm here, I'll be 40 years old.
Have yeah, fun in New York, bro.
On,
have fun
I'm
in New York.
I'm Ron Ugly. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. I didn't know guys still, especially in public, took dumps and pulled their pants and drawers all the way down their ankle.
Ugh. On that floor?
When you take a dump?
You got to keep it above the ankles in the public bathroom.
Yeah,
dude.
You take a dump, like, and you leave your pants at mid-thigh?
Yeah.
By the way, remind me to tell you all about this toilet I bought.
Tell us this on the other side.
Yeah, y'all keep this kind of stuff to yourself.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.